You're listening to Chapter and Verse, the teaching ministry of Muleshoe Fellowship with Steve Frisco. This message was recorded on May 1st, 2024, and is titled Concern. Grab your Bible, turn to the book of Colossians, and let's join Steve and the message.
He's a beloved brother. He's a faithful minister. And he is a fellow servant of the Lord. Man, what a resume. It's pretty good stuff. He said, I'm sending him to you for this very purpose, that he may know your circumstances and comfort your hearts. And with Onesimus, a faithful, beloved brother, who is one of you, they will make known to you all the things which are happening here. So they didn't have Facebook, and they didn't have text messages, Instagram. They didn't have any of that. So they just by messenger. So they're going to find out what's going on with each other. Do you know I cannot know everything that's going on with all of you? That's why somewhere in here, somebody in your life needs to learn how to step up. To find the same resume. Somebody in your household needs to be recognized as a fellow servant, a beloved brother, a faithful minister. It doesn't say anything about these guys graduating from anything. They just showed up. They were willing. And so that's the adjectives on their resume. Do you know every little group should have one of them? I think now that I'm not so preachy as I used to be, I may get to do that more at my house. I may even get to do it in my neighborhood. It's a funny thing about church. It caused a lot of friction in our house, caused a lot of friction in our neighborhood. Huh. Supposedly all in the name of Jesus. I'm really starting to have a hard time figuring that out. If I'd have probably done a little more around there in the name of Jesus, we'd probably be in better shape than we are right now. But I know this much, because of my Lord and Savior Jesus, we're headed to a better spot. And if I got to hang on the cross every day to make it happen, or take it up every day to make it happen, whatever God says to do, I want to be available to do it. Then he goes on, he talks about Aristarchus, my fellow prisoner. He greets you. Now, Murph, I'm just wondering, do you hear a little joy in that? Hey, he greets you with Mark, my cousin. Hey, he's chained to a wall, standing up to his belly button in a cistern, and he just want to tell y'all hi. Hope y'all doing good. He said, the cousin Barnabas, about whom received instruction, if he comes to you, welcome him. And Jesus, who's called Justice, you know, Justice is mentioned two more times in the book of Acts, but that's kind of a common name, so we don't know if that's the same guy or not, but just in case you bump into that, then you kind of know that maybe, maybe not. But he said, these are my only fellow workers for the kingdom of God who are of the circumcision. These are the only Jews who have come to know Jesus in his group. Now, that group right there, that's not a very big pile. That's a pretty quaint little group, isn't it? You do realize that this group was the beginning of a worldwide ministry that would bring many, many millions to the knowledge and truth of the Lord Jesus Christ, to true salvation. This little bitty pile. These guys were the Jewish side of it. And then he said, and they've proved to be a comfort to me. And then he talks about Epaphras. He's one of you. He's a Gentile. He's a bondservant of Christ. I love that. So if I was going to introduce myself, you know, I had a guy do this here a while back. I think he was fixing to drink is what he told me, but we all stand around there and I did the prayer and something, and he let me know that he was really Baptist. That was his depiction of himself. I'm really, really Baptist. I'm really, really glad. Whatever. Whatever. But Paul, when he puts Epaphras in the pile, he said, he's one of you, a bond servant of Christ. Somewhere in the mix, y'all, we got so intent on making sure we get to heaven and making sure we get everybody to heaven, we're running short on bond servants. Is your intention every morning you get up, your thought process of the day, no matter what you're doing throughout the day, are you under the rulership of Christ? Will you do what Christ asks you to do? Can you even hear God to know what Christ is directing you to do? Do you have ears to hear, and do you have a willing spirit? Is your intent to serve God? If so, then we ought to serve each other. You know, one of the highest suicide rates in the world, one of the highest ones is veterinarians. But above that, preachers. You know why? Because many of them start out to be bondservants. I want to do what God's calling me to do. And we're going to serve God by serving the people. And pretty soon you wake up and nobody worries about the mule. They just load the wagon. When you should have been pulling your own wagon the whole time. Many of us fall in that trap of glorying in our ministries. We like the attention. We like the affirmation. We like the accolades. We like to be needed. Everybody likes to be needed. Then you can reach a point sometime, and I see how that happens now, where it's like, can't do this anymore. But now, like I do things, it ain't that hard. I don't know what we're going to do on a Wednesday night. I don't call. I mean, if we do talk at the cow sale, we won't even talk about this. No, God will direct things. And he'll take care of everything. I don't have to have candles or anything else to make sure I can sit in the cab of my pickup and put my hand on my wife and Jesus hears me right then. I don't have to wait in line. My prayer's on some type of schedule. It's immediate. And so he said, he's a fellow bondservant. I want you to think about that tonight and the days to come. Are you a bondservant of Christ? Or are you just saved? I think that's a great question. And then he says, he greets you always, laboring fervently for you in prayers, that you may stand perfect and complete. That means fully assured in all the will of God. This guy, Epaphras, is laboring for those people he's around. Let me tell you right now, let me have a confession right now. That son of a gun is doing a way better job for his people than I am for mine. I don't know that I've been laboring for all of you in prayer. Now, I've been laboring for my family, and I'm seeing results. And maybe I'll get better. I'm just telling you the truth. There's one I know that intercedes for you day and night and to and fro. That's everywhere and all the time. His name's Jesus. I know that if my family needs some outside influence or needs a prophet or needs a prayer warrior, God will direct one to come right to us. Saw it happen, my own eyes. I know it'll happen. So I know he's got this, but this guy, a bondservant of Christ, laboring for people that they may stand perfect, knowing the will of God and living out the will of God. And that's what got me right there. I thought, this should be the whole point. The only reason for us to get in a pile and sit here and visit is that somewhere in here we can take something home, we can take something out for ourselves, something that will encourage us, something that will redirect us or direct us, that helps us come to a place of standing perfect and complete, fully assured. Do you know what fully assured is? That's faith. Faith looks like confidence. Faith does not look like wishing. Wishing's when you throw some money in some water and tell a little kid to tell him whatever, tell the water and the pennies whatever you want to wish for. Well, I'll tell you, ain't nothing going to happen. You threw some money in the water, and when you're 40, you'll wish you had it back. But faith is being fully assured, knowing. And that's what Rob and I were talking about today, driving home, the nearness of God. And I said, it's not just his nearness, honey, because we're all near. The psalmist writes that we're all near. We're all his offspring, and he's near. But to be confident in the nearness of God. That's why you hear so many people talk about come Holy Spirit, and you see the banners on the wall, and all that is a display of your lack of confidence in the nearness of God, because you should already know where he's at. He didn't go anywhere. He didn't go anywhere. I don't have to lick a prayer stamp and send it someplace. He is right here listening to every word that proceeds from my mouth. He's with you right now, watering, nurturing, growing the word, that we would come to a knowledge. He's praying for us right here, encouraging us right here. That's who the Holy Spirit is, that we might be fully assured. It amazes me in some tribes how we got to get saved every week. I've been saved for 29 years. I've been a bondservant for about 27. I chose to be a bondservant. I chose to be a follower of Christ. Did that make me perfect? Nope. Did that make me completely fruitful? Nope. Did that make me, like, live the dream? Nope. One man's dream is another man's nightmare. Be careful what you wish for. But I know I'm fully available for whatever God wants me to do. And he said in verse 13, for I bear him witness that he has a great zeal for you. And so as I've meditated on this word now for a couple of days, Epaphras, he was concerned for the people around him. How many of y'all know that this world is on a path to whatever, destruction, disruption, if judgment comes? But y'all do know that somewhere down the line, it's more like a nightmare than it is a fairy tale. Do y'all know that? They could say it's the great and dreadful day of the Lord, and it's going to be really dreadful in a lot of areas, and I should be concerned. And sometimes my concern and my passion for my country, for the future of my kids, has caused me to not be so palatable all the time. And I get it. And there's been times I'm not that fun to hang around. but it's out of concern. But I should refocus a little bit. You see, there's not one son of a gun out of 435 in Congress has called me in the last 8 years for any advice. Well, a couple of them did once or twice, but it ain't regular. None out of the Senate. I've never had a president call me yet. They should. I got some good stuff to tell them. So I can't fix that. In fact, anymore, just to watch it is so disgusting. You can't. I listened to Donald Trump for 20 minutes, and I'm going to tell you, if he don't get his childish underwear off and start wearing big boy panties and start talking like an intelligent human being, for crying out loud, you won't be the president of the United States, and you're going to stand on stage and talk about Joe Biden. Holy moly. I just put my fingers in my ears. No, I would, for intelligent life, stand up here one time and tell us how we're going to work our way out of $36 trillion worth of bankruptcy. I'd like to know what you're going to do about securing our border. I'd like to hear your plan for protection against radical Islam in America. I'd like to hear some plans. I'd like to know what you're going to do for the promotion of Christianity in this land to help us come back to the saving graces of God Almighty. That's what I'd like to hear. I don't want to hear about Joe Biden. I turned him off. Yeah. Until your IQ gets out of the gutter, I'm done too with all of yous. But you know where I can refocus is a concern for you and your family. That you and your family are in covenant with God. Because when this herd of buffoons takes us to the ditch, God's people will be under the blood. God's people will still be Psalms 91 people. God's people live in your house. So if I can have amazing concern for your house, what will help your house? Reading the Bible every day. I talk about that a lot. Taking communion together, understanding the Passover. That'll help a lot. Loving each other. Man, that'll help a lot. Praying for each other. That'll help a lot. Having somebody in your house can hear God and everybody knows it, and we have full assurance in that. That'll help a lot. If you're not careful, you'll wake up and you'll be just like Joseph. You'll know that the famine's been predicted, and God's made his choice, and it won't matter because you're ready. Let me tell you something. Beans that last 40 years will not save you. But the God of all creation, he will sustain your life. You know why? Because he's already redeemed it. He'll meet every need according to his glorious riches. He'll never leave us. He'll never forsake us. He'll lead us in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And even when we're standing in the valley of the shadow of death, we will be fine because his rod and his staff comfort us. Now, if that doesn't give you some joy in the midst of the mess, so that's what I want to do. And I want to have great zeal for you, and I think we should. I want to start having zeal for my neighbors. I was thinking about that when I was hauling that. Hey, man, I'm nice to my neighbors, and I'll go over and, man, if they're gone out of town and some strange car drives up, I don't have a problem going over there and seeing what the heck's going on. Or if I see a water leak, I don't have trouble. I love helping my neighbors. But I don't know that I've really helped my neighbors. I don't know that I've really, really laid it down for my neighbors. So anyhow, let's go on right quick. And he said, so, and those who are in Laodicea and those in Hermopolis, Luke, the beloved physician, and Damas, they greet you. Greet the brethren who are in Laodicea and Nymphas and the church that is in his house. There you go. The church that is, greet him. Some texts say that could even be a her. There's, if it says nympha, that's female. Nymphas means male. My Bible says nymphas, and then it says his house. So I'm going to go with that one for now. But just to throw all you ladies a bone, there might be, she might have been a lady that was leading her house. Just be sure somebody's leading your house. But if a man's, look, if you're a man at a house and the lady's leading the house, come on, man, get your stuff together. That's all I got to tell you. Come on, you got to step up. You can't just stand around and let your grandma do it the rest of your life. Somebody got to step up a little bit. And so, anyhow, he says, now when this epistle is read among you, see that it's read also in the church of Laodiceans. And likewise, when read the epistle from Laodicea. So he's telling the Colossians and the Laodiceans, hey, I'm writing you guys all this stuff. Read it to each other. Here it is. This is all we should be doing as Christians. Reading the Bible to each other. And reading the Bible out loud to ourselves. I told a guy the other day, he said, I'm reading the Bible chronologically in a year. I said, no, you're not. You're turning the pages. Because it takes a lifetime to read this book. Because you really hadn't read it until you tried it. I think that had to come from the Lord. I didn't have that written down on no bumper sticker or nothing. But it's pretty dang good. You really hadn't read this till you've tried it. I just want to know, not by a show of hands or anything else, how many of you got somebody in your house that you can read a scripture of them more? Not every day, but every now and then you'll just read a scripture and say, hey, honey, what do you think about that? Or call one of your kids and say, hey, I was reading this scripture today and I thought about, can I read this to you? What do you think about this? Is the Lord trying to tell us something here as a family? Because we're pretty well practiced in listening to a lot of preaching. I heard it this week. Oh, don't quit preaching. We love your preaching. Well, I want to get where I love your practicing. Let's do that. And he said, so all these letters, read them to each other. And there's the last part, and then I'll be done. And then say to Archippus, take heed to the ministry which you've received from the Lord, that you may fulfill it. I got friends that are still searching for ministry, or they've hopped from one ministry to another ministry. I just want to encourage you today. Who you been given? Who did the Lord give you to take care of? Who did the Lord give you to speak into? Who did the Lord give you to stand in the gap? Felice and I had a talk a little while ago about a lady that's not doing very good. It's been on her mind, and she come and told me, she said, you need to pray for her. And I said, no, ma'am. You pray for her. You're the one getting up in the middle of the night thinking about her. I'm not. You stand in the gap. The Bible says, I sought for a man to build a wall and stand in the gap and found none. Stand the gap. Who's been given you? Who's on your mind? Who's on your heart? And if it came from the Lord, then it changes everything. Because look, if you're not careful, you'll get to preaching to a lot of people. And then you get to one of them camera things going on, and there's a lot of people, and there's a lot of phone calls, and everybody loves you, and got all this stuff going on. And then all of a sudden you read this, couple times for the 100th time or the 200th time, and you go, Lord, Did you give me these people? So this really isn't my ministry. You gave me these people. Well, forgive me, Lord, for the days I've been half-hearted. And forgive me, Lord, for the days that I had my sucker in the dirt.
Well, that concludes this segment in our message. Come join us 7:30 Wednesday nights at 710 East American Boulevard in Muleshoe, Texas. Or on the web, www.muleshoefellowship.org. We're on YouTube as Muleshoe Fellowship. And for Steve and everyone at Muleshoe Fellowship, God bless.